Amen. There's a day coming when we won't have to worry anymore. I'm looking forward to that. Take your Bibles, please. This morning our reading is from the first chapter of the book of Mark. Moments with the Master is our series. And looking forward to sharing some things with you today concerning the moments that were spent in the presence of the Master. And this morning we're going to be talking about a man that came to Jesus, and he was a leper. I don't know what you know about leprosy. I know it's mentioned in the Bible a lot. It typically is when it's mentioned and there's a time when someone has been cleansed by the Lord, it's always referred to as being a cleansing, not a healing. And it's because leprosy is viewed as a type of sin. And we'll look at that together this morning. We're in the midst of spending some time with the Master. And today we're going to see how a man's life was changed by the Master. And did he ever need the Master's touch on his life? If you're familiar with the first chapter of Mark or not, I'll familiarize yourself with it. I'll help you right now understand a little bit about this first chapter. It is a very busy chapter. We're going to read in a moment, beginning with verse 40. But before we get there, there's a lot of things that was going on in the life of the Master. For example, he's baptized in this first chapter. It's mentioned that. Not only is Christ baptized, but after his baptism, he goes up on the mountain and he is tempted by Satan, and he deals with him in that particular time. And then he calls his first disciples, and that's mentioned here in this first chapter. He goes into the synagogue and he teaches there. He casts out demons in the lives of some folks. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. And that's mentioned here as well. We note that. And so after all of these things happen over a brief period of time, Jesus, what I'm going to call, he steals away. He needs some time alone, and he steals away, and he finds a quiet place alone and by himself, and he prays and talks to the Father, and he speaks to him, and that happens. But when the disciples finally catch up with the Lord, they ask him and say to him, "Where have you been? The crowds are looking for you. We wondered where you're going." He's surrounded by people, and that was his ministry to people, and we get all of that. As a matter of fact, Mark will mention in the 10th chapter of this book that he came to minister to those, not to be ministered to, but to minister to others. And so after a trying, what I'm thinking of, exhausting time with this, as this chapter opens, we come to this 40th verse, and I'm calling this an unusual moment with the Master. And I think you'll get the reason for that being an unusual moment as we develop the message. So if you can, would you mind standing? And we'll read these verses together from this first chapter of Mark, beginning in verse 40, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. "And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but he stayed out in the unpopulated areas while they were coming to him from every place. And you can see why. There were others that were ill and dealing with health issues, and they wanted to be made well as also. Thank you for standing this morning. You may be seated again. Pause with me as we pray. Father, we'd like to just ask your blessings upon the words that's about to be spoken, on this passage as it unfolds before our eyes, and help us to see the wonderful truths that we're going to notice together. Use my mind and heart and these notes that I've put together as a blessing to someone today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, an unusual moment. There are three things I'd like to share with you about this unusual moment. And the first one is just this, the condition of the leper. He had leprosy. Now, I've read and studied and researched probably more than I should have this week, and so I've left some things off that I think here an hour or so before lunch that you don't want to hear about leprosy. But nevertheless, leprosy was a dreaded disease in that day, and I guess it's pretty much been eradicated for the most part. 2,000 years ago, however, it was one of the most feared diseases that a person could get. I think it was much like cancer today. It's just something that you don't want to have to deal with. Cancer today is compared to leprosy in that cancer, it forms on the inside and you can't see it, but it eats away at a person's life. Leprosy forms on the outside and physically it begins to eat away at a person's life, and both left untreatable. I don't know if there was a treatment for leprosy except from Christ. It meant ultimate death. Now, here's some things about leprosy that I have tactfully put together. Leprosy, when it began, the person that's being afflicted becomes exhausted, tired. It's just one of the first signs that you've got leprosy. And then a place is going to appear on the body. Typically, hands, neck, face, all things. And a lump then will appear, a bump, if you will, a nodule. And it's going to appear on the skin, and it's going to continue to grow, and it will just become infected, if then that's a good word to use. But after a brief period of time, that place that appeared to be basically insignificant, just white looking, is now turning red, and that bump is becoming infected, and that bump is going to fill with pus and corruption, and that will just absolutely eat away at the flesh of the person who's afflicted by this disease. By the time the bump and the lump and the visual notice is there and you know you've got it, it's time to now find a place to live apart from your family and apart from your home. And they formed colonies where people could go and spend the rest of their days together with one common cause that was going on. They all had leprosy, and they would all eventually die and die of the leprosy. And so it's not a pretty picture. And sin is not a pretty picture. It's a form of dying, isolated from everyone, isolated from anyone. And the fact that they venture out of the colony, it was a law that when they came out of the colony, if they came upon anyone that, as they were walking along a road or whatever, that they would raise their hands and they would cry out that they were unclean. And they would do that multiple times. I am unclean. Do not come. I am unclean. Stay away. The places that became filled with corruption and pus, those places would be covered with cloth. Strips of cloth would be cut, wrapped around a hand or a head or a neck or whatever it was. And the Bible uses leprosy as a type of sin. It's interesting, does it not? What happens on the outside of the body is a picture of what sin does on the inside of the body. Eats away at a person's life. Eats away at a person's well-being. Eats away at what is going on. And eventually, when that time comes where life is taken, there's an eternity without God that's going to occur. The Bible says, and we'll go back to Isaiah. Isaiah said this, and the 600 years before Christ was even born, that Isaiah made this statement. He said, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And that filthy rags is a reference to the fact that he was pointing out some discarded rags that the leper had that bled and had corruption and things in it that very unseemingly to look at and unkind to have to witness. But he said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Just like sin, leprosy starts out small, practically unnoticed. I don't know particularly of anyone personally that ever just made a leap off of a diving board, so to speak, into a pool of sin. Sin starts out small, starts out unnoticed, starts out easy, starts out maybe even fun. And the Bible does say that there is pleasure in sin for a season. But it starts out that way. It starts out and you hardly even notice it. And I'll make this statement that about sometimes it's as simple as, you know, I took a quarter off Dad's nightstand without asking. Now, that's pretty insignificant. He might have given it to me anyway, but technically, what did I do? Did I steal it? Go ahead and say it. Yeah, I stole it, did I not? Didn't ask for it, so I took it. And so it can be something that simple and something that easy, but it always grows and it always expands. And before long, with leprosy, what was now seeable is knowable, and what is now knowable is understandable. And that's exactly the way sin does. What was seeable in my life and your life is now knowable and it's understandable, because leprosy is just like sin in that way. And someone said that sin will take you places that you don't even want to go. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And the leper, when he died, you know what they did with him? He was cremated. He was burned. And along with all of his belongings that contained the disease of leprosy, but everything that he had was burned, including the leper. Again, like the lost sinner who lives her life without Jesus Christ, eventually sin will take that person into a devil's hell, and they will spend an eternity apart from God. So the leper comes to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, he didn't throw his hands up. He didn't say unclean. He said to Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. He didn't say you can heal me. He said, you can make me clean. And I love the answer that Christ gave him. Jesus said, I can, and I will. And that's how God does business with sin, does he not? We come to him and we cry out, I'm unclean. I have sin in my life, and I need you now to take this. And a moment in that man's life was changed the day that he came in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. The condition of the leper. I also note with you this morning the compassion of Christ, or the Lord, if you will. The leper approached the Lord, and there's a crowd with the Lord. They're following Him everywhere that He goes. And I'm thinking that there were those when He came, and He didn't cry out, but He probably had the rags around Him. They knew He was a leper. And I'm thinking the crowd probably stopped, maybe even retreated quite a bit. He's not lifting His hand. He's not crying out unclean. But notice what the Lord does. And that's why I've entitled this "The Most Unusual Moment." The Lord reaches out. It says He had compassion on him. And He did what to the leper? He touched him. Something that no one would want to do. No one would want to touch somebody that had leprosy. And the Lord could have warned him to stay away. And the Lord could have said, if you come any closer, according to the law, you're going to be stoned right here in this place. He didn't say that, and neither did anyone else in the crowd. And so, keep your distance, but stay back. That was not the way. And He could have said that, but He didn't say that. What He does is the most unthinkable thing that you and I can imagine of someone that has leprosy, and is recorded in verse 44. He said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest." Interesting. That's the unthinkable has occurred. He's been touched by the Lord. And Jesus said, "I will touch him, and I will heal him, and I will cleanse him, and I will make him whole once again." And listen, it was when that moment happened, grace was transferred from the Lord to the leper. And it's a wonderful moment in time, and the most unusual moment that Christ would touch someone. But grace has been transferred from the Lord to the leper. And sin is never transferred to the Lord. Now think about that. Our sin is never transferred to the Lord. Since the day of Calvary and since the empty tomb, grace is always transferred from the sinner. Jesus take our sin, and He forgives our sin, and He cleanses our life. By grace are you saved through faith. And it's a gift of God. If it was not a gift of God, you'd boast about it, wouldn't you? And so would I. I can just imagine. I can imagine what the crowd saw that day. I can imagine what they said that day. And I can imagine what they did that day. But one of those things happened that was typically and totally a God moment. It was a "but God" moment. And God did the work and God did the healing. And that crowd, let's think about the crowd. Would you agree with me? You don't have to. But would you agree with me that they hated leprosy? Would you agree with me that they probably hated the leper? I think so. And maybe we're a little bit like them today in that we hate the sin and we find it hard sometimes to love the sinner as well. No one cared about him. He just stay away from me, keep away from us. But Christ had the compassion and He touched him and He cleansed him. And immediately, not eventually, but immediately, He was cleansed. Now think about it. He's now like you and me. He has no problems. There's no health issue. He's free to go home. He's free to see his family again. He's free to do the things he has not been able to do for many, many months now. He never has to cry out unclean again. He never has to wrap those places with those rags again. He no longer is disfigured. He was what? He was made a new man in Christ Jesus when he was touched and when he was cleansed. And it's a wonderful thing. And he really is ready to go home. You're not missing that, are you? He's going to go to his home here, but he's going to go home there too. And that's a good thing. To share what has happened. So we see the condition of the leper, and we see the compassion of the Lord. But there's one other little, could we call it a fly in the ointment here? And it's just a little bitty fly. But it's the command of the law. There's some things that the law has required. And the law has required since the writings of Moses. And it's recorded in Leviticus about a leper and how he is to be treated and how he can go about hoping to be clean. And I go back to verse 44 again. It says, "But you go show yourself to the priest for your cleansing, and what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." That's the 17th chapter of the book of Leviticus. So this man has been cleansed. And Jesus says, what I want you to do is go show yourself to the priest. There's some things that he needs to see. And there's some things that he will do. But this is a good thing. He can show yourself to him. Now, I'm just totally convinced that while the priest knew about the ritual that he is going to do and perform, I don't know that he's ever done it before. I don't know that anyone was ever cleansed of leprosy except but what Christ did. I think what is happening or has happened in the past is that those with leprosy went to the priest for cleansing. A ritual they would go through that if God would move and if God would touch and if God would just hear my cry, He would heal me and cleanse me from my leprosy. I don't know that they ever had a situation where a person came that had been a leper and now was clean and cleansed. But this man was. And Christ says, go show yourself to the priest. Now, the 17th chapter of Leviticus, that's the 14th or 17th, I don't remember right now, but anyway, it doesn't matter. But it's quite a lengthy chapter concerning what the priest was to do going back to the time of Moses. But let me condense it into a couple of paragraphs, and we'll get the picture of what was about to happen. Now, the leper could not go into the city. Okay? We know that. But this man has been cleansed. So he comes to the gate of the city. And he cries out to the priest. And he calls the priest. He says, I have been cleansed of leprosy. And Christ has done that. And I need you now to purify me or go through the ritual of showing that I am a cleansed individual. So among the things the priest did, the priest would go back into his area where he worked, back into his storehouse of goodies. He would bring out scarlet thread, a little piece of wood, two turtle doves, bowl of water. And he'd bring those two turtle doves out, and in the presence of the leper, they would now be face to face. And one of the turtle doves was put to death. Okay, I know that sounds yucky, but the turtle dove was put to death. And after it was killed, its blood was then taken and put on the wings of the live bird. And the priest would then, with some words recorded in Leviticus, would take that live dove and lift it into the air, and away the dove would fly, covered by the blood. You get it now, don't you? Yeah. Covered by the blood. Boy, if I just run cold chills. I've been reading that all week, and I still get cold chills thinking about it. The things that they did hundreds, thousands of years ago, they're still doing those things because it mentions the blood. And that dove flies away. Now, in the past, they're hoping that ritual cleansed the leper. But what happened? This leper was already cleansed by the blood. By the blood of Jesus that was going to be shed for him. And Christ made him clean once again. A wonderful thing. The command of the law. It's seen here. And he did all of these things. And it was a great moment in time, not only for that leper, but I think for the priest as well. People think, "Oh, preacher, you just don't know about my life. My sins are too deep." They're not too deep for the blood. They're not. My sins, they've got me so far away from being able to be rescued. Not by the blood. You can always be rescued by the blood. You can always come home by the blood. It's always about the blood. I ask you this morning, and you know the answer to this, what can wash away my sin? That's right. What can make me whole again? That's right. It's nothing but the blood. It's all about the blood. Well, what can reunite you with your family again? Is it not about the blood? What can give you a new start this morning? Is it not about the blood? What can make you whole again? It's all about the blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 45 closes by saying that everywhere he went, he told everyone what God had done for him. And we ought to be doing the same thing. We who've been cleansed by the blood. We who've been forgiven of our sins. He went everywhere telling folks that he was clean and had been cleansed. He has a new home to go to. He has a new name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He has a new start. Technically, it's all about the blood. All about the blood. Do you know about the blood this morning? The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago? Do you know about that blood? That blood will give you a new hope. That blood will give you a new start. That blood will give you a new name, so to speak. That blood will give you a new home. Home in heaven one day. The Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Christ, won't you do that this morning? Maybe you're watching online, but you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Would you not this morning pray, "Father, would you please forgive me of my sin? Would you come into my heart and into my life today? Would you create a new creature, a new creation? Make me a new creation in you today." And do it with the blood that was shed. Forgive me. Use me. Cleanse me. Father, we thank you for our time this morning together. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you and serving you and loving you. Thank you for this hour that we spent together. Glorify yourself with any decision that's going to be made today. I pray especially for that one that needs to come home this morning. No one is too far from you. They can always be reached by the blood. So touch a life and change your heart. Cleanse from the leprosy of sin this morning someone. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand together.